Okay, we're up to Bereishis chapter 7. What we're up to is part of the story of the Mabel. Now, the chapters divide the story of the Mabel into sort of four chapters, 6, 7, 8, 9. 6 is the story of, we could say in general, the story of how the earth was corrupted and Noach was a tzaddik. And that's sort of accurate. 7, they have the story of Noach entering the... okay, that's 6. 7, they have the story of Noach entering the Taiva and the Mabel starting and everything being destroyed. 8, they have the story of Noach leaving the Taiva, or we could say of the more broadly, of the Mabel stopping and Noach leaving the Taiva. And 9 is the story of the blessings and the bris, the covenant that God made with Noach. That's the organization of the chapters, and there's some logic to it. A somewhat more... better division, which was conformed closer to the way that the psukim themselves divided, would be, so number one, the first two and the second two chapters, if you divide it in half, that seems to be somewhat accurate way in which the chapters are accurate. In other words, the pasuk of Yizkor Lehem Esnach, which is the beginning of chapter 8, would be the correct place to start the second half of this story. But a more clear way to have the story cut up would be to talk about the... And this is something which we is first we have the story of the corruption, which I discussed last time. Then we have something which already started really in the previous chapter, in chapter 6, which is really the beginning of this part of the story, the second part of the story, the second major part of the story, which is God speaking to Noach about the corruption of the earth and about what his plan for the Mabel is and about him entering the Taiva and all of that. And I make that into a fully separate account. The chapter seems to think that since the first speech of God to Noach, he talks about the corruption of the earth and how he is a tzaddik, or as well in the second one actually, and how he will be saved in the first one it says. So they seem to have connected it with the first subject, but really we should see it as a separate part where God speaks to Noach. And I think that this is important. Most people who have read it, I don't think, have noticed this important thing. But it seems to be very important, which is that this is the first time that God actually expresses to a man, to this tzaddik, his problem with the earth. And it, we see very clearly, and there's the same double thing at the end of the Mabel, when God changes his mind, or when God sort of repents from destroying the earth and says he's willing to destroy the earth. There is a stage at which God, it says explicitly later, Vayomer Hashem Eliba, and here it just says Vayomer Hashem, but we can assume that it's Eliba in the sense of not speaking to a prophet, not speaking to any... man. So just like in Masa Bereishis, in the first chapter, God didn't speak to anyone, and maybe you could call him speaking to nature, but he's basically speaking to himself and saying, I like the world. And then he speaks to himself and says, wait, the world is not God. That's step one. And then there's another whole story, and this is a big chiddush. It's something new that happens here, which is God speaks this to a man and also tells this man what to do in order to save himself. So not only tells him that, you know, there's world is bad, but you're good and I will save you. He actually also tells him to save himself, how to save himself, at least in the first speech that God gives to Noach. And I think that this is an important difference, an important division to think of, how there's things that God speaks to himself, which we could call like something like God's thoughts, and then there's him speaking to humans, which also gives humans a different kind of role. It gives you a different kind of dialogue. We discussed how Hashem speaks to Adam. Adam speaks back to him, but not really. Doesn't have any arguments, doesn't convince God of anything. Cain speaks back to God, and God actually seems to be convinced by him. Noach, interestingly, doesn't speak a word back to God. So, and although Noach has the most clearly, like someone would call him the first prophet, he wouldn't be wrong, because Noach is the first one who gets a prophecy about what will happen in the world and what to do about it. Noach doesn't say anything back to God. So in that sense, he's only half a prophet, because the prophets later all speak back to God. They discuss with him, they pray to him. We could say prayer is just a form of speaking back. And of course, we'll get to Avraham Avinu, where he literally goes and argues and convinces God of things. Similar to Cain, but Cain is considered a kind of bad example of that, although we think about that. And anyways, Noach is entirely silent in the still story, so in some sense, Noach still acts like you would expect from the first chapter. Like he's just nature that follows God's commands. There's emphasis on Noach following God's commands. But on the other hand, he is a prophet. He knows these commands because he has told them, and not because he understood them or something like that. Okay, that's for the structure of the story, so that's how I would separate it by dividing things that God says to himself and God speaks to Noach, and then I would divide the part where the Mabel starts, the part where the Mabel ends, and the two white twice, the God speaking to himself and God speaking to Noach about the plan for the world after the Mabul, how there won't be a Mabul. That would be marginalization. Now we're going to back to read the beginning of chapter 7, and we'll read through this chapter just to tell us what's going on and to note some of the difficulties, because I think there are some important difficulties in this, especially in this chapter, which it's very hard to read as one story. There are famous proposals for what to do with it, but we'll at least note the problem. So right at the beginning of this chapter, we have Vayomer Hashem Lanoach, God speaks to Noach and tells him to enter the Taiva. So if you're reading this as a continuation of the previous thing, we would understand it very simply as first the long commandment that God gave to Noach to build the Taiva was to build it, and now he's telling him to enter it. So there's like two steps, like we build a sukkah and then we live in it. We build the Taiva and then we live in it, or similarly we have the Mishkan. They built the Mishkan and then there was a command to enter it, to like the actual thing happening. So here we're up to the actual thing happening. And it says, go enter the Taiva with your entire household, because that's the only time in the entire story that God tells Noach that he sees him as a tzaddik, right? Interestingly, in the previous command, or we could call it the command where he told him to build the Taiva, he didn't tell him why he will be saved. He told him he will create a covenant with him. Maybe this covenant is for no reason, just because he chose one person, doesn't say it. Just, of course, we know, it's like from the narrative perspective, we know that the Pasuk said, Noach is tzaddik. The Pasuk said before, Noach matzachem b'nei Hashem. But Noach didn't know anything about it. This is the first time that Noach hears, and again, if we're focusing on this important thing of what God knows, what we know as the readers of the story, and what the people, the characters in the story are told by God, it seems to me to be important, then this is the first time that Noach hears that he's a tzaddik, and this is why he will go on the Taiva. Okay. Now, it tells him also to bring the animals, and here there's a difference between the previous thing. Again, if you read it as two corresponding stories, then there's two different stories. Three is a continuation, so like he told him in the beginning to bring two of each, and now he adds more, and he gives a split. It gives animals, pure or clean animals, to bring seven, and here there's also a new language, ishvishta, instead of zachar v'nekiva, male and female, there's man and wife, and this is very interesting, because until now there were no male and female, man and wife for animals. They were not even zachar v'nekiva, that's the truth in Parashat Bereshit. There's only for the man, of course, it's implied. It says peruvu. It says that they will multiply. We would assume that this is the way animals multiply, but it doesn't say. And here we have this difference. We have zechav nekeva, and here we have ishvishto, as if they're a man and a wife, and two of the non-pure animals. Of course, this difference between pure or clean animals and non-clean animals is probably references to what we learn in Sefer Vayikra. There are animals which are tameh, which we do not eat. Animals that we do eat. Although, of course, this is before those laws were given, so there's a question of what it means, but it seems like it's a more ancient thing than that, according to this story. Same thing from the birds, seven, and here there's zachav v'nekeva, not ish v'ishto, which is interesting because we discussed that and man has the ish v'isha in a sense of a couple, peer bonding. Animals generally don't have it. Birds actually generally do have it. Famously, we have the metaphors in Tanakh already of Yonah, birds being loyal to their partners and so on. And here the Of HaShemayim is the one that has a Chav Nekva, and also has no difference between pure and impure ones. There might be something going on with that. And here another thing, also another thing that's seven. There's another thing also here that God tells Noach exactly when the Mabul will happen. And he tells him for exactly how long it will happen. He tells him, you should enter in. Before we didn't have this, we had a very general thing. I will kill everyone, I will destroy the earth. It doesn't say for how long or who and so on. Here you have exact details. It says, in 7 days, I will make it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Very important. In other words, 40 days and 40 nights means it's not just something that will be a long time. It will be consecutive. It will never stop all day and all night. That causes some kind of huge flood, right? The flood. And I will delete, I will destroy all that I have created on the earth. Okay, that's the God speaking to Noach. And then we have the response to that. Vayas Noach, Kralash Tzva Hashem. Noach did everything God commanded him. There isn't in this pasuk yet, there isn't a articulation, a details of what he did, just like we had already before. It said already once, Vayas Noach, Kralash Tzva Hashem, and we're still to assume that he built the Taiva. Here we do have, in the pasuk later, we'll have Noach doing, in the sense of going, entering the Taiva and bringing all the animals. It says twice. It says once. And it says three times. It says God commanded him. It says he did everything God commanded him. And then it says again that he did it as Hashem commanded him. So now we have The next pasuk is something which is another order. In any way you read it, you have to read these psukim, the timeline psukim, and separately, so we can then order everything on a timeline. And this timeline connects back to where our header, which was Elet El Esnech, which started with Noach having being born and giving birth at 500 years. Now we have 100 years later, when it was 600 years, there was the Mabul. That's just to tell us when in Noach's lifetime there was a Mabul. And now we have the next part is Noach, his children, his wife's children, enter the Taiva. In other words, this is explaining how it says Noach did everything God commanded him, and including bringing the pure animals and the impure animals and the birds and the remes, the insects. Each, here it says Shnaim Shnaim, maybe we're to assume that from the Behemoth Torah it was 7-7, not clear, they all came to the Teva, Kash Etziva Elohim Es Noach. So that's the continuation of that. Now we have another pasuk, which is a continuation really of what of Vayomer Hashem El Noach, which we had in the beginning of the chapter, where God said, in 7 days I will make it rain. And this it says, Vayil Shivasim, in 7 days, and there was a Mabul. Now we have another pasuk that goes back to the schedule, the timeline of Noach's life, and it says, gives us more details of how Noach, how exactly in which, besides for the being a timeline of Noach's life, 600 years, and 601st year is when the Mabul stopped, there's also a timeline interior to those 2 years, exactly in which month and in which day. And this is the first time, I think, in the Tanakh that we have months and days and numbers of months being used. Of course, this is based probably on the moon, and this we assume that this is the calendar that we also have, which is more or less the lunar calendar. And we have in the second month, in the 17th day of the second month, that's when, and now we have a new language, and we'll later, tomorrow, I guess, talk about what this language means, because this is an important language to know, to understand what it means in the context of the story of creation and the story of the water. But anyways, I have a new language for a Mabul, which is Nivku kol mayinotom rabat the springs of the Tehom were split, v'arubot ha-shamayim niftachu, and the sort of the holes or the windows of the heaven were opened. Okay, that's a new, extreme way of saying the Mabul. And then we have again a pasuk that returns to what Noach was told, that in 7 days will be 40 days and 40 nights of rain, and this says that happened. It was Geshem, 40 days and 40 nights. That's the only time, I think, that we have the language of 40 days and 40 nights. Later we have Meketz Abu'amim, it doesn't talk about the night. So this is to tell you that there was actually 40 days and 40 nights, in other words, consecutively without any stop. Okay, and now we have a third time where it says that Noach entered into the Taiva. That's another question, why this is again. But it's Bezbe Etzema Yom Hazeh, and it's referring to some day, probably the day Yom Chodesh Hashayin Yishivas Yom Lachodesh, which gives you a specific date. I think that's the first time we have like a specific date, the month of the year, a month and a number and the year. So that's like a very clear date. And in that exact date, Noach, and it gives his names, another thing that we didn't have before, the three names of his three children, Shem, Cham, VeYefes. And it gives us, and his wife, and it talks about, gives you more, even more details. His wives, his three children's wives, they all came to Taiva, including all the animals, and again, by their details, Chaya, Bahem, Remes, Oif, and they all came. And then there's the end of the pasuk, as God commanded him. So again, back to the command. Vayizgor Hashem Bada. Vayizgor Hashem Bada seems to be going back to where God told Noach that he will enter him into the Taiva. He should enter into the Taiva, that he will enter him. And then it doesn't say in there, when he tells him to enter the Taiva, it doesn't really say that he will save him through that. It says that he will destroy everything else. And apparently this Vayizkar Hashem Bada is expressing how God will save. So God, or Havai, will close what? We assume the Taiva. The Taiva maybe was left open, or there was some door, and in order to close it, and so it should be able to protect you from these great waters, they need God to close it. And this is God, really, I think, the most clear pasuk, which talks about God saving Noach from the Mabul. I guess this pasuk, Vizkar Shembad, is saying that this Noach being saved from the Mabul is actually a work of God, although he went into the Taiva, but Vizkar Shembad. Okay? And now we start, and this is the last important part of this chapter, which is, in my division, the start of the Mabul itself. Until now, we have like the Mabul start. Of course, I already said that it was 40 days and 40 nights, but we could see that as like a pre-look, looking forward, because we didn't really go through the 40 days and 40 nights. Now we have that it was 40 days and 40 nights. And now we have another like structure that the story talks about, which is how how high the water went, or how strong the water was, the waters went. So there were many, Vayirbu Amayim, there were many waters. They came more and more. And they picked up the Teva, and the Teva picked up, or was picked up from the ground. And we'll see later tomorrow how this is important. This discussion of the water and the earth is very important. And then the water became even stronger, Vatelech HaTeva al Pnei Amayim, and the Teva basically was swimming as a boat. And then we have, even more than that, not only was the Teva lifted off the earth, but the waters were strengthened even more, and they covered all the high mountains. So this is another important thing you would think. The waters covered all the high mountains. And how much? 15 amas on top of the mountains. Okay, that's the strength. This is like the peak of how big the marble was, this pusik. And we'll see later that when it goes down, this is what it refers to. And then we have the result of this, which is what God said will happen. Ve'igva kal basar, every living thing, everything which has a breath of life, everything on the dry land died. And everything was Yimach, destroyed. Everything, and the only thing that was left was Noach and those with him in the Teva. And this all was going on for 150 days. So that's the end of this chapter, and I will stop here.